How many of you heard that, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's true if you keep it in context. It doesn't say Jesus does the same thing yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. It was the same Jesus who told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that no longer tells you that. How many of you have read where in this dispensation today, you have to worry about eating from a tree? You don't, do you? It was the same Jesus who told Noah, build a great big ark so we could get all the animals and all the hordes of people who are going to repent toward God with faith toward the ark. How many people got on that ark? And the rest all died. Amen, Jenny? Lyrics to one of her songs. There's nothing wrong with Ken Ham building that big thing down in Kentucky to show people how realistic the Bible is and all. But Ken Ham didn't build that ark as a obedience to a commandment. Ken Ham is not out there preaching to everybody saying, you're all going to die if you don't get on my boat. Yeah, and I don't think his would float. It's no. Yeah. So, you see the point? Jesus hasn't changed, but his commandments, his teachings for different dispensations are different. And we need to make some more copies. It's a good thing we ran out of our dispensation charts, but you can go online to our website, bbfohio.com, and click on resources, and you'll see a bunch of charts and memes you can share on social media free of charge. Download them and use them. And you'll see the dispensation chart there. But think about this. These preachers never inform their listeners that Paul, by the time he came to the end of his life, could not heal. And it doesn't have anything to do with Trophimus not having enough faith. And folks, you want to see one of the most sad things next to an unsaved person on their deathbed. That's the saddest. One of the next saddest things you'll see is a saved person on their deathbed thinking that they're dying because they don't have enough faith to be healed. And that, well, I'm telling you, I don't think I'm coming across as angry right now, but I have to tell you, it makes me very angry. When I see a Christian, a saint, who is saved and will go to heaven if they die, thinking they may not even be saved because they're dying, and they believe they're dying because they lack faith. It's a horrible heresy. If it were true that it's God's will to heal all, then Paul was a backslidden heretic. Think about that. If your TV preacher is telling you to send me $1,000 and I'll send you back a hanky that I spit on so that you can then put it on your forehead and be healed, you know. Or, I don't have my bottle of water, but they prove these guys just take bottles, fill them up in their kitchen sink, and put a lid and buy labels to wrap on it. Holy water. Holy water. And if you send me a check for $500, a monthly installment plan, 12 months of $500, I'll send you a bottle of water that's holy water. Those same people are basically saying they're more powerful and holy than the Apostle Paul. Because as Paul went out of this world, he couldn't heal Trophimus. So a little reality check. God has his purpose for healing. God does heal. There's nothing wrong with you praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you heal Carl Jose. Heal Sister Martha. Heal Paul down in Louisville. Heal. And it doesn't have to be right next to you. You can be in another state, another country, and you can pray. And God, please, we pray you heal. And according to his will, sometimes he does. Man, I consider a friend of mine that I met 10 years ago online. Had some phone conversations with him, but we never met in person. But we were in close contact for several years, and then We got off Facebook about a couple years ago and kind of lost track of him. A fellow named Shane Slattery. He had throat cancer a few years ago, and God healed him.
Amen.
He did get treatment, but those treatments don't always work. Or they may not be able to heal him. They just help him cope or whatever. But in Shane's case, he had a clean bill. Was told, you know, he's in total remission. And then just a few days ago, I heard that it had come back really badly, and he's now passed away. But I don't even know if you knew that. I should have. But he's with the Lord right now. But one of the things used to make Shane so angry was when he saw this false teaching torturing people. Because he knew God had healed him. But he knew at the time God could have chosen not to. He had nothing to lose. He knew he was going to heaven. And then this last time it came back and God didn't heal him. And you know where Shane is right now? He's with Jesus. So God has his purpose. I think the purpose, why would God heal Shane a few years ago and then not heal him when it came back on him? Because in those years, Shane was a great influence on a lot of people, including some of his own blood relatives. God had his purpose. But even those who are healed eventually die, just like Shane. He was healed, but then he eventually died. How many human beings other than Jesus Christ and Enoch, besides those two, according to the Scripture, how many have never died? Other than, I'm not talking about anybody alive today, obviously your day's coming. There you go. So there's three. Elijah, Enoch, Jesus, anybody else? That's it? So why does anybody believe this nonsense? There's only three people in human history who didn't die. So that teach people that if you just had enough faith, you'd never get sick and die. Look at how ridiculous that is. Do the math, man. Three people. How many people have lived? We think it's into the tens of billions who have lived on planet Earth since Adam and Eve. And Doug, you got it right there. It's all about the money. That's right. The Bible, well, he died, but yeah, you're right. Jesus died, but didn't stay dead and rose from the dead. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men, what? But after this, the judgment. When was that ever rescinded? It's still a fact. This fellow is one of the people who really got this ball rolling here in the modern age. It's a fellow named William Branham. He's born April 6, 1909. And only believe all things are possible. And he kind of talked like this, you know, only believe. And he was one of those guys that set up the tent, would have people come, and he'd lay hands on them. And people would claim to be healed and all that. Well, he is dead. He died way back in December 24th, 1965. And he did not rise from the dead. His followers actually think he's going to rise from the dead. Still, he's still got a cult following of people who expect him to resurrect and expect him to be one of the two witnesses or something in Revelation.
Wow.
But he would preach that if you just had enough faith, well, he didn't have enough faith. I'm not being mean. Let's just be real about this. That's the reality. All faith healers have one thing in common. Other than they were all born and, you know. One thing they do all have in common, they die. Every one of them. How many remember this guy? Evangelist Oral Roberts. And he used to preach, if you just had enough faith, you would not be sick. Now, what amazes me is people who followed him and gave him millions of dollars. When he died, they didn't say, oh, wow, he was a false teacher. Because he was. If he wasn't a false teacher, he'd still be alive. This year would be his 102nd birthday if he really believed what he preached. Peter, pretty good if you're not preaching otherwise. He preached he shouldn't die. 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Folks, when those TV preachers and people are bilking you out of your money, it's with feigned words. Why? They know they're preaching lies. How many of you know who Rod Parsley is? For years he bilked and milked people preaching that if you had enough faith, you would never have to be sick. You'd be healed if you did get sick. And then when he got cancer, he went to the hospital. When he got cancer, he had treatments. Hypocrite. There were even stories I heard of people who went to his church who died because they didn't get treatment because they believed what he was preaching. Then when he got sick, he went to the hospital. Oh, I finished that verse. It says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You think I'm being mean? That's what Peter thinks about him. Here's a list of a few dead fake healers. E.W. Kenyon. He's one of the fathers of it, back with William Branham. He's dead. Kenneth Hagin, Sr. Kenneth Hagin used to be on the radio here locally. I'd hear him almost every day teaching this stuff. And that's a guy that I don't wish hell on any of these people, folks, but man, I doubt this guy's salvation. He would get on radio and tell people that Jesus showed up at my house last night. And he stood at the bed, the foot of my bed, and we had a discussion. And he said, Brother Kenneth, I was like, you think Jesus would address you like that? But anyway, Brother Kenneth, that's what he said. I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, Brother Kenneth, if you don't believe, then I can't do it. And I said, Lord, you mean to say, if I don't believe, you won't do it? And he said, no, I said what I meant. If you don't believe, I can't do it. And see, he taught that God was basically like a genie in a bottle, and if you didn't believe what you were praying, then God couldn't do anything. It's like activated. Wonder twin powers activate. I mean, that's how they taught it. Listen, I am here to tell you that I could take up another 5, 10, 15 minutes of telling you the stories of where I prayed with no faith. And God answered. Because I have faith in God. It's not my faith in my faith, which is what the word faith teaches. If you just believe, no, not in myself. I have no faith in myself. But I believe in God and I know He'll do what's right. Amen. And I pray, Thy will be done. Do your will, Lord. And there's a number of times where his will was no. Like, okay, Lord, I'll get over it. But there's been a bunch of other times where he said, okay. Man, that was great. Love it when when my will happens to be in line with his. Yeah, Doug?
It's like that verse that's over in the book of James where it talks about, if it's your will, Lord, we'll do this, that, and the other.
You should pray that way, yeah. Some of you may not have heard of this one, but this lady was a big influence on a lot of people. Amy Simple McPherson. Her faith, that she preached the same stuff and she died. Catherine Coleman, how many of you heard of her? Dead. Smith Wigglesworth. I didn't make it up, that's a real name. But he's one of the founders of this. These are the people that these guys will quote all the time. He died after preaching that he didn't have to die if he had enough faith. He still died. What's sad is you learn these names, you'll go to a lot of Christian bookstores and you'll find that's all they sell. Yeah. Infecting people with this stuff. And et cetera, meaning there's just too many to name. So many. Leroy Jenkins, did he die?
I don't know.
He's still alive? Leroy's one of them. Leroy Jenkins. Benny Hinn. Yeah. Benny Hinn. Really, most of the teachers on the network that we call TBN. Paul Crouch preached this stuff and had these teachers on his network. He died after chronic heart problems. And it's a while back, so I'm not going to upset family members. This was 7 years ago, almost 6.5 years ago. But you know, it's just the truth. If he'd had enough faith, he wouldn't have died. That, according to what he taught, he made millions of dollars preaching that nonsense, and he died. No, he's Paul Crouch. That's his wife you're referring to there. So every single time, the claim that it's God's will to heal all in this dispensation is a text out of context. There's coming a day, but we ain't there yet. Look at Isaiah 53. We'll close it up. Look at a couple places maybe. But Isaiah 53, one of the, just a beautiful chapter of the Bible, amazing. But we're going to zero in on verses 4 and 5. And this is another one they take out of context, so that's why we're looking at it. Isaiah 53, verse 4, speaking of the Messiah to come at this point, and we know when he came, his name is Jesus. Verse 4 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now read verse 5 with me. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, if you had shown up for Sunday school this morning, you would have learned a really good lesson. Amen. And that is when Stephen was talking about the difference between positional and practical truths. Positionally, all of us are healed. But it's speaking of you in your soul and your spirit. Amen. Your body is still stricken. Your body is still fallen. And you don't have to have some big terminal disease to know that. Amen. How many of you ever been sick? Right. How many of you, the Bible says the whole creation groans. How many of you do that when you get up out of a chair? Oh, me. That's the condition you're in. And if you try to act like that's not true, it's insanity. It's against the Bible. It's bad theology. What we have to recognize that we are seated already in heavenly places according to Ephesians. If you read Ephesians. But that is your position in your spirit and your soul. You're as good as saved already. If you're saved today, you're in heaven already as far as God's concerned. But practically, in the practical sense, you're still in your body, a fallen body, and it's appointed under that body to die. But if you're not raptured out among those which are alive and remain, then you'll be one of the dead in Christ. Either way, that dead body or your fallen body that's dying is going to be glorified. And at that point, you'll receive the healing that Jesus paid for and we just read about in Isaiah 53:5. But any time a TV preacher or a preacher in a local church tries to take verse 5 of Isaiah 53 and put it on you now, they are preaching and teaching heresy. Amen. It's not for this dispensation. So this is another example of a misplaced truth, taking it out of context. It's the wrong dispensation. Yeah. Amen. There is coming a day, but it's not now, that God will heal everybody. Look over at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 to 16. 15 is the Awana theme verse and a verse memorized by many others. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That just means you don't take it out of context. That's what that verse is saying. If you want to be approved of God, work, put effort into your Bible study, and rightly divide the word of truth. Don't take it out of context. Read verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. People teaching this stuff, they are teaching profane and vain babblings. And that's why this has become such a huge thing in churches, and it has increased unto more ungodliness. It has festered in the body of Christ like a cancer. It has caused people to fall away, make shipwreck of their faith, caused whole churches to just die, or some got bigger because they got worse in some cases. And that's where we are. It goes on in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. It's a cancer. And of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? And they were in error saying that the resurrection is already past. But look at the end of verse 18. What's the result of error? Heresy. It says, and overthrow the faith of some. Yeah. These teachers are going to answer to God whether they're saved or not, because they, in their error, have overthrown the faith of millions. I run into people all the time, and one of the first things they want to tell me when they talk about not wanting anything to do with Jesus is because of the preachers preaching this stuff. So, just so I'm not misunderstood, you should eat healthy. I don't think you can't have a piece of cake or a donut once in a while, but generally you should eat healthy, take care of yourself, and do not defile the temple. Amen? Amen. Which is your body. That's just so you know. But any claim, in addition to this word faith stuff, any claim that a pill or a diet heals everything is anti-biblical nonsense. And we've had people, some of whom are dead now, who really got angry at me because I wouldn't endorse this idea that a coffee enema would heal everything. Or the vegan diet, or the Gerson method. Now, those things and eating right and all that can help in certain situations. It can prevent things and all that. I'm not saying you don't do any of those things ever. But this idea that if you just did the right diet or took the right pill or drank the right thing that you're never going to get sick, just watch people who say that, they'll get sick. Yeah, just because why? Because nothing has reversed the curse. Until Jesus comes and takes us out of here, you're still cursed. There are people, and I say this again, not picking on anybody, just a fact. How many of you know Chuck Smith, the pastor of Calvary Chapel? Never smoked a day in his life, and he still got lung cancer. How does that happen? He didn't know. Thankfully, he wasn't a heretic teaching you shouldn't get sick and everything, so you don't have to worry about him being a hypocrite. Yeah.
You see Jim Baker's trying to sell his own colloidal silver, and he's now saying it'll cure and prevent the coronavirus. And he's been selling it for a long time now beforehand, but now he's
in case you didn't know, Jim Baker's got another TV show with another Tammy Faye type wife, and they're doing the whole thing again. Yeah, he's all about surviving the tribulation period and all that kind of thing. Yeah, Charlie? Huh? The Daniel diet. You remember that one? I knew a bunch of people on that, and about 25% of them are dead. Not because of the Daniel diet, but because the Daniel diet isn't going to cure everything. So that's the point. I don't want anybody to think I'm up here trashing anybody who thinks they should eat healthy and do good things, you know, take care of themselves. One last place, though, we want to look. What do we do about those who teach such nonsense? This is the hard pill to swallow, but this is what the Bible tells us to do whenever we're faced with someone teaching such nonsense. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And I want everybody to get there so you can read along, because 17 is very important. give you a second. Play. I still haven't got my Jeopardy music, so I can play that. All right, let's read. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. I don't think, I don't know, so I'm going to say it. If any of you are watching these people and thinking, oh, they still teach some truth. I say this with no desire to hurt your feelings, but that's the stupidest thing to say. We just talked about decon.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to teach a lot of truth. It's the fact that they teach error. It's not that a guy's wrong once in a while because you couldn't listen to me for that. But it is when they're preaching something that is heresy, that is hurtful, that is a perversion of the atonement, turn them off. Avoid them. Look what Paul says about them, verse 18, read that. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, I didn't watch the movie, but what was the movie where the guy played a character and he kept saying, get into my belly. What was that? It was a recent... Austin Powers. Yeah, I'm not recommending the movie. I have no idea. It might be filthy. I don't know. But I saw a clip one time, and somebody had put that clip after one of these TV preachers. And it was a TV preacher about three times my size, just like the character. And he so they went from him to the, get into my belly, you know. And I thought, how fitting, because the Bible says they serve their own belly. And it doesn't necessarily mean food, but it means their own desires. It's all about them. They don't care about you. They'll tell you whatever it takes to get your money so they can have their jets and they can have five or six homes worth $2 or $3 million each, and they can wear suits that are more expensive than most of your cars in the parking lot, and to live that kind of a jet-setting lifestyle, making merchandise of you, as Peter said. But we'll come back to the reality. One day, all believers will be forever healed. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll close with Revelation 21. Verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I cannot wait, I cannot wait, I cannot wait for that day. Read verse 4 with me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Go home and read the whole chapter, but that's just wonderful. So our closing thoughts are this. Are you willing to wait on God's will for your permanent healing? Because if not, you'll fall for this stuff and get bilked out of money and be very depressed. Is heaven real to you? Is your heart set on heaven? One of the great ways to avoid being suckered, whether it's false teachers or just the latest get-rich-quick scheme, is to have your mind and heart set on heaven. You'll be less tempted to try to make heaven on earth. Amen?
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.